This is Patty Prickett, and I'm interviewing Rebecca Holland Goldberg. The interview took place on December 3rd, 1974, at 10:30 a.m. in her home in Hollywood. In this interview, we cover her experiences in and her feelings about the Women's Trade Union League in the late teens and 20s in New York and in Chicago. We also talk about Brookwood Labor College and about the 1917 ILGWU strike in Chicago and the 1922 New York General Strike.
No, then I was just a slave striker. I was a young girl then. I was a slave striker. We were arrested because we were picketing.
Uh-huh. And there was anti-picketing with you?
No, but there were police. And at one of the shops, name was White, and a large shop. And we were picketing. We were, about 4 or 5 girls at that time, and we had men too. There were 3 men, you know, working, helping us out, you know, union people. And then the police came around and said that we were, you know, disturbing the peace.
Which shop were you in?
Weiss. I think it was Weiss. And Jackson, and this was on Jackson. Jackson Street, near Market.
Mm-hmm.
And we were striking at that time for high wages, recognition, union. The main thing when you were out on strike at that time was for the recognition of the union, you know. It was not a union shop, a non-union shop. And, well, I'd say that 3/4 of the shop didn't want to go out on strike.
So how did you?
So we went out on strike. There were about 18 of us.
And the other people stayed
and
working?
And the other people stayed working. So there were fights between the scabs, what we call scabs, that went to work and, ourselves.
Did you block?
We blocked it, as I imagine we did. We were right around the door. But there was a little girl, you know, really a little girl. She's dead now. And she was a boisterous kind of a girl, so when she'd see the women coming into work, you know, she'd get at them. And we were arrested, and we were taken in just overnight. And the women, we brought something to eat, we didn't eat, but we sang all night. We sang all kinds of songs, all kinds of double songs.
Oh, I get to hear that.
And they heard it, and they kept on telling us to shut up, but we kept on singing. And in the morning, the lawyer came and took us out.
What did they charge you
with? With disturbing the peace.
Did it hold up in court?
No.
No? Good. They dropped charges? Or
they dropped the charges.
Did you have any contact with the... Were you all in the same cells, or were you with other prisoners?
No, we were together. We were alone because we were in one room. There wasn't anybody else except them. They put us into a room. And there was just room enough for 2 people to sleep, you know. They really wanted to sleep. There were 2 cots, but we were 5. So we weren't sleep anyway. And we sang all night long, you know, just made us up sing, and they brought us something to eat and we didn't eat. I think I know at that time I was 17, 18 years old. All of us were young. We were all young kids, you know. And what I want to tell you is that that shop was not settled at that time.
No?
It was finally given up, yes. And
because the other people wouldn't join the strike?
Well, they wouldn't join the strike, and we gave up that shop. I think that shop was organized in 1932, 33.
When you first came in, did you try to, you were already in the union
when you first went
to that shop, right?
Yes, I joined the union when I was 14 years old. They didn't want to take me in, but I insisted.
Oh, great.
So they took me in. I was 14. So all these years, you know, while I was there, I was a member of the union.
Did they know you were a union when they hired you?
No.
did they ask us? Was that, I read the Yellow Dog contact where you had to sign that you would never join the union. Did you ever?
No, I never had that experience.
So, had you attempted to organize or to talk to the other? I imagine I talked to the other girls.
I wouldn't really remember actually, but I imagine that the me girls, I talked to them about, you know, the union stuff and if we could, you know, if we joined the union, we could get more wages and we could, you know, have a say in the prices, you know, and we set the prices for dresses, for instance. And we'd have a committee to work with a foreman or with a boss, and we would settle the price. We wouldn't always get what we wanted, but we'd get more than what they wanted to give us. So that was the way. But of course, we were two things that we were fighting for, and that was a union shop was the first thing. And the second thing that we were fighting for is that we wanted, you know, the opportunity to settle prices.
But were the people afraid? Is that why they're
afraid? Well, they had their jobs, and they didn't understand, and they didn't, they just didn't want to join the union. That's all. At that time, it was very bad, you know, and the police were terrible. It wasn't like it was in the 30s. In the 30s, the police were gentlemen. In the 30s, we didn't have that much, nobody would grab us. For instance, like a policeman grabbed me by the coat, was in the winter. Grabbed me by the coat in the back and, you know, and dragged me down into the wagon. I mean, they wouldn't do that. In the 30s, they didn't do anything like that. And I think it was due to the general situation in the country. You know, things became different and people understood more. And the police were different than they were in 1917, 1918, 1920, 1922, something like that. It was very bad at that time because the police were very rough. They didn't hit us, but they kept on arresting people, you see. They arrested us, but they arrested some of the cutters. They were more rude to the cutters than they were to us. Because they were boys, men, you know. And it wasn't, of course, you know, only youngsters can take it that way, you know. I mean, older people would feel differently, but we were all young. And we just took it, you know. A girl that, you get older, you know, they too have more respect for us, and suppose we know more what to say. Well, and we did at that time, because we were really young kids.
Were there instructions so that when you were arrested, more tickets to place?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
More tickets to place, and those were not from that shop, from another shop came to help us. Well, we had a parade once, you know, we had a whole bunch of walking over there, and then they didn't arrest us. But we had that parade walking on different streets, you know, back and forth, you know, about 30-35 kids, girls, you know, walking back and forth. Well, among us, there were some that weren't so young, but there were some who were even in the 30s, you know, and a couple of girls who were older than we were. But we were very young.
Did the women's, I read that it was supported by the Women's Trade Union.
No, the Women's Trade Union League was a very good organization, but it wasn't very effective.
What kinds of things did they do?
Well, there were four unions. A lot of the women who joined the Women's Trade Union League wanted to help. But they were not for boisterous things, and they were against fights. They were against boisterous action, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Women's Trade Union League, we had two different kinds of women. We had the women who were older, who believed in trade union, but they did not believe in anything like that, so that you should fight. For instance, if a girl, you know, stops a woman from coming up the stairs to the factory and they got into a fist fight, well, they were against.
Not the working
class. Right. The Women's Trade Union League consisted of two-thirds middle-class working women. Now, let's see, in Chicago, we had two teachers, and we had, we had other women. When we had a meeting, for instance, they agreed with us, yes, we have to unionize the shop. They'd agree with that. But they did not, most of them did not agree with, fist fighting or anything like that. So we took the Women's Union League nonchalantly. I mean,
you know. Why did you join it then?
Because it was supposed to be a women's labor organization.
Did the working class women have power in the organization? Were you able to make policy?
Policy, I don't know whether we were very successful in making, but we did get help in many respects, you know, because we used to come to the meeting at the Union League. We did get help because it was really educational.
It was mainly
educational.
But then I read in another book that they were supposedly fighting for all kinds of issues.
In New York
only. I see. Because when I read the issues, it sounded like they were...
In New York. In Chicago, it was quite pale.
Well, was the educational emphasis good? I mean, did they...
It was good. It was colored by labor philosophy. And it was good. I think it was worthwhile belonging to the Women's Union League because people had respect for us. See? Now, for instance, I'll give you one example. That was later, 1970. That was later. In 1924. For instance, when we were fighting legislatively,
mm-hmm.
the Women's Union League was of great assistance because the senators and the congressmen, in general, Congress, you know, in Illinois, they had respect for the Women's Union in the League. This Mrs. Nelson and the others, you know, who were there, that's her first name, but her name was Nelson, who was the head of the Women's Union in the League. And they felt that that was a legitimate thing. We asked it, you see. And if they did ask it, good. But we were connected with them. I'll show you. When we went to Springfield to talk for the 8-hour day, we were five.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two women from the trade union league. And I and another girl was from the dressmakers union. And another girl was a waitress. And the waitress was against organize at that time too. And we came there, and maybe if not for the Women's Union League, they wouldn't even give us the ear, you see.
Yeah.
This was the most important thing. That's why I was for joining the Women's Union League. And several other girls of us who joined, not too many, but joined the Women's Union League, because I felt that the high necks, you know, had more respect, and they gave us an ear. But they wouldn't give us kids out here.
I see.
So in that respect, they did good. You see, now in New York, however, the Women's Trade Union League was much more active with the strikers, much more active with the workers. They were much more sophisticated, and they were a larger group, and it was much better than it was in Chicago. Okay, I come from Chicago. That's Chicago I'm talking about. Because when I came to New York, at that time, I was a member of the Women's Trade Union League, and I was always going to all the meetings, you uh-huh. see. But I was already a sophisticated person. I already had plenty of trouble, you know, with the police and with strikers and with this. I was already a chairman of a group of in a big shop. It was already a different ballgame, as they say.
So you stayed after them in New York
yet? Oh, yes. I fell into the strike right away as soon as I came. They called the dressmaker strike, and then they called the children's dressmaker strike, and I fell right into it. And I was, they gave me a hall, you know, where I was the chief of the hall what I have to do. And people used to come. I'd give them a talk in the morning, mm-hmm. and then divide them up in committees to go picketing. And then after the picketing, they'd come back to the hall. And each one would tell their story as to what happened during the day, and we would have kind of a meeting of all of them.
New York General Strike.
New York General Strike.
Well, if there was violent action in the strike, did the Women's Trade Union League withdraw support?
No. They didn't withdraw support in Chicago, nowhere. They didn't withdraw support, but they were not involved in arrests or anything like that.
They wouldn't like bail or anything like that?
Well, they didn't. They were not involved. They weren't active enough. They didn't come to the picket line so that any one of them should be arrested. They were never arrested, you see. They were never arrested. But they also had a seat in the Chicago Federation of Labor.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chicago Federation of Labor, of course, was a much more important and more active than the Women's Trade Union League. I mean, you can compare the two, because you see, there you had a large organization, and most of the unions that belonged, not one person belonged there, but a union belonged, and the union sent delegates.
Mm-hmm.
You see. For instance, I was a delegate from the International Retirement Workers Union, just Workers Union. I was a delegate to the Chicago Federation of Labor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I couldn't go there by myself, you see. I had to be a delegate, and everybody else, you know, from the Plumbers Union or anybody else's union.
Were you a delegate at the National Labor Conference?
What's the...
22 or 23.
In 22, we had a convention of the ILWU where I was a delegate.
Mm.
Yes. I was a delegate at the 1922 convention in Cleveland.
Did the Chicago Federation work with, did the Women's Trade Union work with them, or did they?
Well, there was a connection, you know. There was a connection, but I wouldn't say that Chicago Federation of Labor didn't think too much of the Women's Trade Union League. They were all right, but they didn't consider them as a very important, digit, as you say, you know, of the working class.
Because of their lack of action.
Lack of action. They were more of an intellectual type, and discussing, a lot of discussions. They always discussed.
Were there fights then with the working class women and the middle class women about that? I mean, were there?
No. At that time, we didn't have any fights with the middle class women, but they stayed away.
They stayed away?
Yeah.
The middle class women did?
Middle class women didn't participate.
So in Chicago, was mainly working class?
You women stayed in your league?
Yeah.
You know, they had some women, as I say, they had some teachers, they had the women that had more education and had jobs, perhaps in an office, you know, something like that. I really don't quite remember. They weren't very effective, that's one should think. As far as we're concerned, they weren't very effective.
Rose Schneider, I was reading her book, and she said that at one point that the League was apolitical and that she thought that was good.
Yes, she was apolitical, and the Women's Union League was apolitical because of these middle class women. Now, you see, like Mrs. Roosevelt belonged there.
Yeah.
And a couple of other women, I wouldn't remember their names, but you know, I could see them almost, that belonged there, that were professionals.
Uh-huh.
They were professionals. They were working in an offices. Some of them weren't working at all. They were just rich wives for each husband.
See, that situation is confusing me, because from what I've heard, from what you said, it sounds like it was a very sort of patronizing
Well, it was, but the only thing is, now Rose Schneiderman mm-hmm. was a dressmaker. Mm-hmm. She was a little one, little woman. And she was went to night school. All her life she continued studying, you know. And she was mild. And she was the kind of a person that could attract other women who theoretically think that we were right. See?
But it can't.
But you couldn't depend much on them. We never considered them as we had to depend on ourselves. I mean, we did. We couldn't depend upon them. You see? Now, Rosh Schneider would come and speak to us. Well, at that time I was already more sophisticated too. But I didn't like her way all the time because to me she was neither here nor there, you know. You see?
That was an impression
I got. Yeah. Theoretically she was with labor, but physically she stayed away. But still, I always considered that it was important. I'm sorry there isn't anything like that now.
Why important?
Because it was a link to the other type of people, you know what I mean? That you know, our educators, teachers, executives, rich women, it was a link, you see, between the working girl and the other women who are not working girls.
What benefits do you think you get out of that link, though? What benefits do you get out of that?
I don't know. You know, in Jewish there is a word for it, but I don't have to translate it into English. It's called like yichas, your background, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, say you come from a good background or a bad background. Say your mother was a teacher or your mother was a prostitute or something like that. I mean, you come from a better background, you know, then you have that thing that would do us good. And then in some cases it did us good because you see, when a bus and the people like that, you know, and they feel that we are backed by a group who are not workers, you see?
Yeah.
So it gives us prestige.
So it's almost like public relations.
Yes.
As public
relations and prestige. You see? That's what it gave us.
How did
the
working
women
tolerate the attitudes of the
like
women? Did you just ignore them, or what did I
enter? Two kinds. A girl like I appreciated it because I was never a left. I was never a left, even before the Communist Party was organized. I didn't somehow or other. I never fell in to the fighting you because you are not a part of us. You know what I mean? I wanted to teach myself, and I believed in education. And when I was a young girl, I left the shop and I went to high school. I told you that last time. So you see, I come from a family of educated people. From Russia who are biblically educated people. I have, for instance, my uncle was a rabbi, another uncle was a rabbi, a third uncle was a writer. You know what I mean? I come from that type of background. So to me, it was an important kind of, to have people who are educated, more educated, and yet understand the value of organized labor.
And you're talking about mainly the teachers and people who are kids.
Yes.
What about the Mrs. McCormick?
Now, That's a different story.
Wasn't that
I never respected them very much, and I used to smile at them because they were all right. They want to help, let them, you know. But as far as really respect, I didn't have, because to me they were women. I told you that.
I know.
I said this is like some of them have take care of dogs or cats or something like that.
Right.
They look down upon the working girl, you see.
So how did the working woman respond? There were a lot of women like that in the league, weren't there?
There were a number of women like that. Well, say for instance, she'd say she'd invite us on a Sunday to come to the estate, the McCormick estate, and there would be food galore, and there would be singers and dancers, and well, we enjoyed it, you know. But we didn't respect them we didn't think of them as a part of us.
Did they ever do anything like contribute money to strike funds, or did they ever do anything concrete? Though,
they contributed money to the Women's Union League,
but never to a strike fund. They never.
No. They were against strikes, really. Mrs. McCormick was against strikes. She thought it should be done by talking, you know. We once were talking to her, you know, a group of us, and we told them, I said, we try to talk, but if you can't talk, the only thing is strike. She was not for striking. She thought it was low.
Low?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a law act, you know, it's just like the fight.
So she really allied
fight
with
the boss? Well, she didn't allied with the boss, no. But she thought that we should get our the results by talking, by discussion, by conferences, and not go out fighting. Now, for instance, when we were arrested, they washed their hands off because there was a fight, and this little girl, you know, fought that woman, that device strike that I was talking about, 1917.
They washed their hands of the whole thing?
They washed their hands of the whole thing. They didn't help us.
Weren't you angry about that?
Yes, sure, I was angry.
Was there ever a confrontation?
But I'll tell you what it was.
Okay.
There was a confrontation. But what it was this. Now, people like me, for instance, I said that a time will come when these people will see things are going to change, and they are changing, and it's important for us to keep these people on our side and not to become enemies,
uh-huh.
You see, because there is such a thing as a Congress, there is such a thing as senators and congressmen, there's things like that, you know, you have to talk with them. And you have to try to get better situations for the workers, not only through fighting, but through legislation.
And they can help with the legislation.
Yes.
What happened when you confronted them when they stopped recording for the next time? Who did you
ignore them?
Just
ignore them. We knew we weren't disappointed. We ignore them.
You
expected it. Yes. But you see, the thing is that while we were doing all this, we agreed, all of us agreed, that at the end will be that we will get things through legislation. This is how the 8-hour law came about. That not only can we fight forever, but we have to get through legislation. We're a democratic country. The people are elected. We can elect a congressman and we can defeat a congressman. We talked about that an awful lot. In the Women's Trade Union League, we had many discussions about electing the proper people. They were very influential in that because we were talking at the meetings, and we used to have meetings on Saturday afternoon, that we used to wish that we are the power to elect the proper people. And during elections, we were working hard. Now, what was happening with this? In 1916, Debs was running for president.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us, 90% of our girls were working for Deb's election. And we knew that she's not going to get elected. She was a socialist. And the Socialist Party certainly wasn't strong enough in this country to elect a president. Instead of electing a president, he went to jail. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
That's 1916. But we helped the campaign, the socialist campaign. Most of us girls used to go to the office and we used to write envelopes and stuff, envelopes and stuff like that. Because it began to come, the idea of legislation began to become more important to ride along. Because we could see that living in a democratic country like we did, if we would really understand, we could elect the people that we wanted. I'll tell you an example. I had a brother who died 4 months ago. He ran for a judge, superior judge, Samuel H. Holland. He ran for judge. He was 28 years old. He was elected. He could not take it because he wasn't 30. He wasn't 30 years old. He had to be 30 years old. But he ran on a socialist ticket and he was elected. That means that there were a lot of split votes.
Mm-hmm.
90%, 99% of our people were Democrats. You see, I mean, we were with the Democrat Party, but we would not belong to the party. But we were democratic, and the Women's Union League was very active during election period.
Uh-huh.
You see, and that was a big plus because we used to come there and we would, you know, listen to these people who hear them that we had the power to elect people if we would use that power. The trouble was at that time that many of these girls weren't even citizens. Either they were too young, or you know, the women's vote came in what year? I think I was 18, exactly 18, I think I was. 18 or 19 years old when I...
1916.
No, but in Chicago it was in 1916, 17, something like that. Now, most of these striking girls who struck weren't citizens. They couldn't vote.
Did the women's trade unions support that?
No.
So how was there?
They were not
citizens. The conflict when the other one?
I think that they voted for a Democratic vote, for a Democrat. They were Democrats. This is not for a Democrat.
So was there ever political discussion among the working class and the middle class women in that group? And was there any kind of interactions on that level? Sorry.
Yes, Debs came to speak to us.
How did the middle class women react to that?
You like it. Middle class didn't like it. They weren't socialists.
And there was...
You know, you mustn't forget that at that time, it was like this. There was the Socialist Party that was pretty strong. There was the IWW
right.
That was pretty strong. Now, we were just talking, you know what I mean? And then, of course, was the Republican and the Democrats. And we didn't help the Democrats or the Republicans. We were, most of those who were active politically were either socialists, and some of them who were not active politically were IWWs. Haywood played a very big part in that particular time.
Within the ILGWU?
No, within everywhere. He used to come to the city, he used to talk to us. Haywood talked to us. We had strike, he used to come to talk to us. And he, of course, his idea was that he was against the Socialist Party because, again, of having the centralized government. He was against the centralized government because the industrial workers of the world were against centralized government. Their ideas was that every city and every place wherever the workers are, they should have to say, they should do whatever they think is right, and the same thing with the unions. But of course, you see, the Socialist Party at that time was strong in comparison to us. Now there's no such thing anymore. I don't know. the Socialist Workers' Party, which is communist, really.
Where did you stand between the
I was a socialist because I didn't belong to the party.
But
you lean
more towards them than towards the IWW?
Yes. I lean towards them. I used to come to the office and help them during the campaign. And Debs came to talk to us several times. Nelson ran for president after Debs was in jail. And he used to come and talk to us. And, I come from a socialist home, you see.
But last time you said you felt very close to the IWW.
In my own heart, I felt close to, even today I do. I believe that the workers who work should have to say what they should get. Like, for instance, to your husband with your union. I think that he should have, they should have the control over it, and not some central committee where they're only a part of it.
Yeah.
You see, I don't know. I believe that now, too. I believe that the workers who work, who produce the goods, should really have a say in it. And they haven't got a say in it now.
No, not at all.
You see?
What about Mrs. Lilly? Where did she fall in this?
She fell into the Women's Trade Union League. Mrs. Lilly was a very nice person. She was very nice to the girls. I think she helped out a lot of girls, too. And
how did she?
With money. I think she helped out a lot of girls. A lot of girls went to school, like Jenny Matthews, for instance, who went to school after the 1917 strike, and Mrs. Lilly supported her.
Mm.
Yes, I imagine she supported other girls. I was too independent for them. I wouldn't take any money from any of the women, but I know some did. Why? Well, they thought it was all right to take money from them and go to school. I have here a song. That's one of the girls that she was in Brookwood. Sadie Goodman. She is here. She's in her 80s. She wrote this little booklet. Now, this gives you the atmosphere of the girls from the Women's Trade Union League and all these girls that you want to just trying to talk about. Plessy, she was in Bryn Mawr. She was in the Bryn Mawr summer school because a woman helped her out. She was in with the union, and she writes all about this. Of course, it's very childish, written in a very immature way, but it gives you the idea as to what sort of girls, what sort of people you dealt with. Now, a woman like, girl like me was an independent, and I was a pain in the neck.
Why?
Well, I didn't much have any respect or belief in women like Mrs. Lilly and Mrs. other women who were rich, and had a rich husband.
So Mrs. Lilly was the same way?
The same way.
Okay.
Now this girl, Sadie Goodman, she was sent to Bryn Mawr. Somebody sent her to Bryn Mawr. Well, I didn't do that. Well, you see, there were different kinds. You can't put everybody together in one place because working girls are just like other human beings. They're different type of people. I had to work, sure. When I came to this country, I had to go to work when I was 14. But at the same time, I was a very independent person. And there were some girls, like Sadie Goodman the other girl, Jenny Matthews, who was sent to school by a woman, and the women meant nothing for the women because they, you know, the money wasn't so important to them. But it would be against my self-respect to accept money from a woman to go to school. Some girls did.
So invisibility? Did most of the rich wives share the grief of others?
I'll tell you something. I think the rich wives had access to the press, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also a very important thing for us. You see, we wanted to have that middle class, or the rich class, some of them, to don't consider us like wild animals, that we are, have a right, you know, for some things. Not that they had much influence, because they didn't. I don't think any of them had too much influence. All they could do is, in the field of education, to, you know, come and talk to the girls, and some of the girls were very happy because some of these rich women came to them, not all of them, but some of them.
Did they have any respect for the differences of opinion that you have? I mean, if say if there was a strike and there was some violence and the women, the league said they were going to withdraw support and the working women within the league struggled around that, would they listen to you, or would it just be no, we're not going to support? I mean,
no, they listened, but they didn't support.
They would never change their minds.
They listened.
Period.
Yeah.
So really, you didn't have much control over policy.
Policy of what? From the union? Yes.
No, policy of the league.
Of the league?
It sounds like they wanted to help in their way.
I hate to say that, you know. I really hate to say that.
How come?
Because I don't think there was much policy.
Really?
That's why I hate to say it. But you see, he was talking to somebody who was a rebel. If you were talking to Sadie, you'd have a different answer.
I want you to answer.
I'm a rebel. I always was a rebel. And besides being a rebel, the fact that I come from a family of important people, you know, in Russia, you see, that fact was in my blood.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't take